Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Thank you, Madhava.
Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Janaranjana Yashoda Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Vishnupada Paramahansa Priyavadi Vicharya Astotavista Shishimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Guru Vrind ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhakta Mahapurana ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrind ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna. Welcome to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we're reading from Canto 11, Chapter 25, which is entitled Three Modes and Beyond. Today we're doing text number 8. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamajyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Turubhascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshi Shinnivadi Paschati Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shinyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Deitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Premadhya Shirupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Shimurte Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dhvanta Harine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhakta Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So text number 8. Pravritti lakshane nishtha. Pravritti lakshane nishtha. Puman yahi grihashrame. Puman yahi grihashrame. Swadharme chanutishtheta. Swadharme chanu tishteta Gunanam samatirhisa Gunanam samatirhisa Pravritti lakshane nishtha Puman yahi grihashrame Swadharme chanutishteta Gunanam samatirhisa. Please repeat after me.
pravritti lakshane nishtha pumanya hi grihashrame swadharme chanutishtheta gunanam samati hisa pravritti lakshane nishtha umanya hi grihashrame swadharme chanutishtheta gunanam samatir hisa
Maharajis.
Pravritti lakshane nishtha pumanya hi grihashame sudharme chanutishtheta gunanam samatir hisa pravritti lakshane nishtha pumanya hi grihashame swadharme chanutishtheta gunanam samatir hisa pravritti lakshane nishtha pumanya hi grihashame swadharme chanutishtheta gunanam samatir hisa pravritti of the path of material enjoyment lakshane in that which is the symptom dish nishtha dedication puman a person yahi when griha ashrame in family life swadharme in prescribed duties cha and ana later tishteta he stands gunanam of the modes of nature samitihi the combination he indeed sa this translation please repeat after me when a man desires sense gratification being attached to family life and when he consequently becomes established in religious and occupational duties the combination of the modes of nature is manifest. So again, when a man desires sense gratification, being attached to family life, and when he consequently becomes established in religious and occupational duties, the combination of the modes of nature is manifested. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, religious duties performed for promotion to heaven are understood to be in the mode of passion. Those performed to enjoy ordinary family life are in the mode of ignorance. And those performed selflessly to fulfill one's occupational duty in the varnashrama system are in the mode of goodness. The Lord has thus explained how mundane religiosity is manifest within the modes of nature.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Janashalakaya Chakshur Nitam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Mutale Shumate Namam Krishna Goswami.
So here the Lord is continuing to describe our material condition in this world. And
Our condition is such that it is described that the mind is in control of our lives. And this mind, until it becomes a devotee of Krishna, like we are trying to become devotees of Krishna, until the mind becomes a devotee of Krishna, the mind will act in ways that can be quite horrifying to each and every one of us. There's a wonderful story that is told in our scriptures about a great kingdom on this planet. And so the king in this kingdom was a very powerful king. And he was so powerful that he became the emperor of the whole world. He became actually of this planet. He became the emperor of this planet, which means he had kings under him. So in his kingdom lived a very powerful army, because he would use this army to conquer persons who might become envious of him, or in some ways want to attack him or his kingdom like that. So one day, at the gates of his kingdom, a very large palace, the gates of the palace, there was some disturbance. And so the king found out that there's some disturbance going on, so he sent his minister to the gate to ask, what's going on? What's happening? Why is there a disturbance at the gate? So the minister came back and told the king, there's this person there at the gate, and he's creating a disturbance, and he's saying, unless you give me service, I'm going to kill the king. The minister, while he was speaking, was a little laughing, because he's thinking, how is it possible for an ordinary person to actually kill the king? He's got such a powerful army. You know, there's no way you can even reach the king without crossing so many powerful people. So the king said, no, let him in. I can give him some service. That's not a problem. So he called his minister in charge of services with him and said, let's meet this person and see what he has to say. So some members of the army brought him in into the presence of the king and stood by him like military sentinels, like guards, in case the boy misbehaves, the person misbehaves in front of the king. So he says to the king, so the king says to this person, so who are you? What is your name? And he said, it does not matter. Does not matter. And he says, so where do you come from? And he said, it does not matter. So any question the king would ask, he would say, it does not matter. So the minister got a little frustrated with him and got angry. And the king said, no, calm down. Don't worry. It's all right. We don't ever lose control. And now you'll find out why the king said that later. We don't ever lose control. We're always in control. Don't worry. So he said, why are you here? And he says, because I want some service. And he says, if you don't give me service, I will kill you. He says to the king, right in his face. So the king said, that's not a problem. We can give you service. So he says to the minister, pulls him aside and says to him, give him such service that he won't have to come back here for a very long time. So the minister was a very smart minister. So he said to this person, here is a broom, gave him a broom, and he gave him a bucket. And he said, I want you to go out and I want you to sweep every street on this planet until it's clean, spotlessly clean. Can you do that? He said, yes, no problem. So the king, so he went with a broom and a bucket. And the bucket was there so that he would have some water that he could collect and wash, because when you're cleaning something, just sweeping is not good enough to remove the fine dirt, you have to also throw water like that. You see that particularly in some countries where people are constantly cleaning the street, you know, they sweep and then they throw some water like that. Of course, it's also so the dust won't collect again. Lo and behold, in 10 minutes, the person was back again. The minister thought, how is this possible? It won't even be, it would take more than 10 minutes just sweeping the street in front of the palace. How did he go all over the world and come back and say, sir, I don't think you understood what I said to you. I meant the whole planet. You have to go all over the planet. He said, I have. I've cleaned every street all over the planet. He said, it's not possible. He said, well, check it out. Ask your men to go out and have a look. The men went out to look. And amazingly, they even asked people from faraway countries and said, it's true. All the streets are spotlessly clean. Hare Krishna. The minister knew he had a problem on his hands. This person was no ordinary person. In 10 minutes, if he can sweep every street on the planet spotlessly clean, obviously there's going to be some challenge giving this guy some service. So he says to him, okay, sir, with that same bucket that I gave you, I want you to go out and water every blade of grass and every leaf on this planet. So now, this guy said, thank you. I'm so happy you gave me that service. And he just left. Well, in an hour, he was back again. And he said, what? He said, yes. I'm actually, you know, watered every leaf and every blade of grass on this planet. The minister thought, well, let me just check it out anyway, just in case he's not telling me the truth. So he checked it out. Lo and behold, it was correct. People were saying, yeah, I mean, every leaf looks watered, every blade of grass looks watered. So the minister went to the king and said, I surrender. I don't know what service to give this guy. For the first time in my life, I'm at a loss what I should do in my life. The king said, that's okay. We're always in control. Nothing is going to go wrong. You don't have to worry. I'll fix it myself. So the king went to his spiritual master and he said, Guru Maharaj, fell at his feet, paid obeisances. My Guru Maharaj, we have a bit of a disturbance in the kingdom. It's nobody's fault. It's my fault. I obviously committed some bad karma and I'm getting some results of that bad karma. But it so happens there's this gentleman and he's an amazing personality. And he tells the Guru Maharaj a story. This is what has happened so far. What service should I give this person? Guru Maharaj said, it's not a problem. I'll give him the service. You don't worry. Tell him, come and see me. So he said to this person, the king went, told the minister. The minister told the person, come to the Guru Maharaj's ashram, into his room, into his bhajan kutir. Guru Maharaj was sitting there chanting Hare Krishna on his beads. And he says to this gentleman, he says, I'm so happy to meet you. You're such a powerful person. I'm always very happy to meet powerful people. He says, how may I serve you? He says, well, I'm looking for service, Guru Maharaj. He's happy to call him Guru Maharaj too. And if I don't get the service, it's my nature. I have to kill someone, I'll kill the king. So Guru Maharaj said, that's all right, you won't have to kill anybody. Everything is going to be fine. He said to him, he gave him a set of Japamala, and he says, I want you to chant Hare Krishna on these beads until you see Krishna face to face. So he said, well, I never chanted on the beads before. I don't know what this all is all about. Can you please train me how to do this? Because I need some training here. So he trained him. He showed him how to chant nicely on the beads, how to say, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhakta Binda. And then chant on the beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he told him, while you're chanting, because you're such an intelligent person, I want you to know that you're saying, O energy of the Lord, O all-attractive Lord, O reservoir of all pleasure, kindly engage me in your service. This is what you're saying. So think as you are saying. You're such a smart person. I'm sure you are very good at thinking nicely. So think while you're chanting and chant clearly every word. Pronounce it correctly. Speak it correctly like that, nicely, so that you can, your tongue can vibrate, your ears can hear nicely, and a person up to, say, 15 feet away, 5 yards away, can also hear you saying the mantras like that. And I want you to keep chanting like this. You go around the mantra this way. When you come here, you come back and go this way. And you come here and you go back this way. And every time you come to the top, I want you to chant Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasti Gaurabhagavan. I want you to touch your beads to your head before you start. And every time you come to this mantra, it's called the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, I want you to touch it to your head. So very, very respectfully and very, very sincerely, and with a pure heart, chant like this and understand what you're saying. Don't just say it mechanically. Understand what you're saying. He said, no problem. I'll do that. So he started chanting. And lo and behold, after a amount of time, he actually saw Krishna face to face. So when he saw Krishna face to face, he became so happy. He realized, I'm actually Krishna's servant. I'm the servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna. It is my job to actually serve Krishna and his servants, and that I should not create any disturbance in anybody's life. So he became a nice pure devotee in the kingdom of this king, and he continued living his life as a nice pure devotee until he departed the planet and went back home, back to Godhead. Now this is the story. Now how does this apply to this? Now, by the way, who was that person? Because the question was asked, who are you, right? The question, what's your name? Who are you? Where do you come from? And he kept saying, it doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. The acharyas actually prescribe that that person is the mind. The mind can do anything it desires. It sets its mind to it, it can do anything. Now, of course, the only issue is there are other minds as well. So they can also do whatever they can. And in the end, even all this conflict can only be resolved if a person comes to the point of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with their heart and their soul, with meaning. And they actually see Krishna face to face. We will see Krishna. Right now we're seeing Kala Chandji face to face. We're seeing Radharani face to face. That is seeing Krishna face to face. We should know that. That is not that there is some idol standing on the altar and he's just a statue and it really doesn't matter. No, it does matter. This is actually the Supreme Lord himself. Their devotees will tell you that Kala Chandji has spoken to them, that Kala Chandji has moved. You might say, well, it didn't happen to me. Well, you need to improve your faith. You need to understand this is the Lord himself. This is not a statue. This is the Lord himself who is present and his eternal consort. The most wonderful Srimati Radharani, the most merciful Srimati Radharani is standing next to him. And these two are the supreme personalities. They are the supremely attractive couple. We have to train our mind like that to understand this. We have to train our mind to chant nicely when we are chanting. So if the mind also chants, the intelligence also chants, the false ego also chants. Now you might say, why would the false ego chant? Now the false ego also chant. The false ego chants because it thinks, if I chant, I'll get to do what I want. A lot of people in Hare Krishna think that if I pray to Krishna, I'll get what I want, right? And it's actually true. Krishna will fulfill everyone's desire. He does. He even does it without them asking. So why wouldn't he do it if they ask, right? And then sometimes devotees want to do things that are not quite good, so they don't ask Krishna, they ask somebody else. Because they know I shouldn't ask this from Krishna. But they ask somebody else. But that's not good, because that means you don't have faith in Krishna. If you have to ask, ask it from Krishna. And if you don't want to ask it from Krishna, you should know it's not something you should be asking for. Right? That's why you don't want to ask it from Krishna, because you know it's not something you should be asking for. So, in this wonderful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is trying to make these things clear to us, there's a wonderful pastime where Ramananda Rai is speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhi Lila, chapter 8, which is talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. In text 60, this verse here, the purport of this verse is also written in text 60 in a different way. Text 60 actually describes a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 9, chapter 9, text 27, where it says, many devotees know this, yat karoshi yat asnashi yat yahoshi didasi yat yat tapasyasi konteya tad kurushva mat arpanam. Ramananda Rai continued, quote, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activity should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Close quotes. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, says, "The Lord has said that the Varnashram Dharma is not properly executed in this age of Kali." Remember it said here that if you're following Varnashram Dharma, you're in the mode of goodness. "Therefore, Krishna ordered Lord Chaitanya ordered Ramananda Rai to go further into the matter. Ramananda replied that this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Varnashram Dharma, one may offer the results of the activities to Lord Sri Krishna in loving service." That's what this verse is saying, in loving service. Naturally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Rai first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belongs to the spiritual world, and his methods for propagating the Sankirtan movement are also imported from the spiritual world. Excuse me. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, "Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtan Ratina Janmira Kenitai." This states that the Sankirtan movement has nothing to do with this material world. It is imported from the spiritual world. Golok Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur laments that mundane people do not take to the Sankirtan movement seriously. Considering the position of devotional service and Sankirtan movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deemed the system of Varnashram Dharma to be material, although it aims to the elevation to the spiritual platform. However, the Sankirtan movement can raise one immediately to the spiritual platform. Consequently, it is said that Varnashram Dharma is external, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to proceed deeper into the matter and uncover the spiritual platform. Sometimes, materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. Impersonalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body. In order that Vishnu Aradhana not be misunderstood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Sri Ramananda Rai proceed further and clear up this issue. Ramananda Rai quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita stating that the results of one's occupational duty may be offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 8, it is also said, Dharmaha svanishtaha pumshan vishvakshena kathasuyaha nutpadiya dyadi ratim shama eva hi kav kevalam. Quote, this is the translation. If one executes occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma, but does not cultivate the dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. So I was reading this morning a wonderful pastime about the inhabitants of Vrindavan with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was commenting on it, and so Srila Prabhupada in the comment says that the residents of Vrindavan all have perfect transcendental love for Krishna. Actually, he says almost all. But he says all of them have so much love for Krishna that he is like the apple of all their eyes, like that. And he says, and this is the amazing part, he says, they actually do not know much about Krishna. Now, we have to agree in this world, we do not know much about Krishna either, right? And we may think we know a lot about Krishna, but when we do find out, we're going to be amazed there's a lot more to know about Krishna than we know. So we do not know much about Krishna. But Krishna, he loves his devotees so much, he loves people so much, because everyone is his creation. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bij Pradapitaha, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So Krishna, actually, in Golok Vrindavan, in the material world, which is known as Gokul Vrindavan, in the spiritual world known as Golok Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, on this planet, when it happened here, and when it happens in other planetary systems where Krishna is performing his pastimes right now, some part of the universe, the persons there are very much fully in love with Krishna, and Krishna is very much fully in love with them. And even though they do not know Krishna fully, Krishna allows them to engage like this with a lot of bliss. So for us, as persons who live on this planet, the most important instruction that we can ever hear in our lives is that love is the most powerful thing in creation. Nothing can defeat true love, and true love can defeat anything and everything. Love of Krishna is the highest form of love. So from our hearts, what we need to do is to say to Krishna, I love you, I am yours, and you are mine. That is basically the simplest instruction that one can receive. If one does that, and sincerely, not just, you know, I'm doing it because maybe it's the truth and, you know, hopefully I'll hit the jackpot and it'll work out or something. I'll win the lottery or something. No, not like that. Genuinely, sincerely, everyone has love in their hearts. Everybody loves someone or something, some situation like that. The greatest love is the love of the greatest. And the greatest is Sri Krishna himself, Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself, who is none other than Krishna. Whose love for Radharani overflows him, then he's known as Gauranga. Because she's known as Gaurangi, he becomes Gauranga. His skin color from bluish black changes to golden yellow, because her color is golden yellow, like that. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna, actually the same person, two pastimes, one in union and one in separation. Krishna is the greatest. And love of Krishna is also the greatest. So if we sincerely from our hearts try to do that and have pure love for Krishna, not love because we're looking for something, not transactional love, not a business. Krishna, I will love you so that you will do something for me. That's not love, that's business. But love where we say to Krishna, I love you, regardless of whatever happens in my life, regardless of whatever situation I'm facing in my life, I will always love you. And you cultivate that sincerely and with purity, like that. Then you watch what happens in your life. Amazing miracles will happen. Amazing miracles will happen. Those who have experienced this And by the way, this experience is scientific, just like 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't matter where you are on the planet, what time it is, what circumstance you're facing, who are you with? Because these are 4 variables in this world. Time, place, circumstance, and person. These can vary. And so sometimes the reality varies with these 4. But there's some realities that do not vary. They're absolute. Just like in math. It's an absolute statement to say 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't equal 10 and 15 and -3 and like that. It's always equals 2. So similarly, everyone who has attempted this has found the result. Everyone, without fail. So what better guarantee than that? And that guarantee is given by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, by the way. He says it, and he wants to make sure that nobody doubts him, so he asks actually Arjuna to declare it boldly. Kaunteya tu patijanihi name bhakta pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly to the world. My devotee always wins. My devotee never loses. What type of guarantee do you want that's better than that? That you're always going to win, you're never going to lose. Of course, it takes a while to get there, because in the beginning stages, just like imagine, you know, the purpose of life was to become a brain surgeon. Well, when the baby is born from the mother's womb, you don't immediately say to the baby, why you're not a brain surgeon? You don't 1 week later say to the baby, why you're not a brain surgeon yet? Even 1 year later, you don't yell at the baby and say, you're still not a brain surgeon? 366 days are gone. You're still not a brain surgeon? It takes a little while to become a brain surgeon. Takes 30, 35 years before you become a brain surgeon. So similarly, this process takes a while because we got so many distractions in our lives. But internally, we should not be distracted, and therefore it can happen very quickly if internally we can become fixed up like this. Externally, we have to deal with the world, and we have to do what it takes to deal with this world. There's nothing wrong with that. But internally, become fixed up. Antarnishtha bahir lok vihar. Antarnishtha means internally I'm fixed. Externally, I'm dealing with people. I'm dealing with circumstances, dealing with places, and I'm dealing with different times. But internally, I'm fixed with Krishna. Me and Krishna are so much together that you can't put a straw between us. There's no daylight between me and Krishna. This is the internal cultivation that should be going on at all times. And externally we try to do the same. When you come in front of the Lord, we pray to the Lord. Kachanji is very powerful, Lord. Very powerful. Whoever has prayed for him before him has always had his or her desires fulfilled. Very powerful. Radharani is very powerful. Gauranithyananda on that side, very powerful. On this side, Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, very powerful. Lord Nrsingadev is there, Anantasesha is there, Prahlad Maharaj is there, Panchatattva there, Tulsi Maharani is there. Guru Parampara, like that. So many wonderful personalities. All of these are individually extremely powerful. What to speak of them together? Just like individually we can have so much power, right? But when you're in a group, the power becomes much more powerful. So this is a group out there who can do anything for us. So externally we also try to do a little bit to cultivate, because then it helps us internally. It gives us confidence. It gives us faith. And as the faith rises, the consciousness rises with it to the highest point possible, which is pure love for Krishna, like that. So that is ultimately the purport of Prabhupada's statements here, his disciples' statements, and of course Krishna speaking in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, I'm going to stop here and ask if any of you'd like to ask any question or say anything. Today is Pandav Nirjala Ekadasi. Fast during the previous Ekadasis, the request is to do Nirjala, meaning without any water. So this, a description is given that during the hottest season, northern hemisphere, if one can perform upavas means a fast, without water, one is performing a great feat. Bhima requested one breath a day by which he could obtain the fruits of all the other days of breath that he was incapable of observing, because Bhima liked to eat a lot. So he tell him to fast. He said, no way, that's not going to happen. So he asked, give me one day when I can do it, and then that takes care of the other days. So then Vyasadeva advised him to follow this difficult brat. Vyasadeva spoke to Bhimasena, quote, "All the merit achieved by fasting on whatever ekadasis fall in 1 year can be attained by fasting on this one ekadasi, Nirjal Ekadasi. Anyone who does not fast on this particular ekadasi, Nirjal Ekadasi, should be understood to be a person who is not very intelligent." It says much worse than that. I'm not going to say it. Of this, there is no doubt. So anyway, it's a nice day. For those of us who cannot handle it and, you know, want to follow the other ekadasis on the other day, which is the right way to do it, one can have some food which is without grains and beans. But for those who have broken any of the fasts, then this is the way to catch up to the other, all the other fasts, by refraining from drinking water as well. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, is this your first time here at this temple? Yes? Or you've been here before. Are you students? Are you working? Oh, you just finished your master's. Nice, nice. And you're also? You're working already. Nice. And you are? It's the first time here. Well, welcome. Welcome to Kalachandis. This is the house of the Lord. It's your house as well because it's the house of the Father. This is the original Father who's standing up here. And so we all are his children like that. So he's very happy to have you in his house. Just like your father loves you very much, right? When he sees you, he becomes happy. So in the same way, Kalachandji becomes very happy when he sees us. And if you come close to him, you'll see he's smiling. If you stand at the back, you'll see he's frowning. That means he wants you to get close. So if you, as you walk up, you'll notice the frown turns into a smile. That's him telling you that I want you close to me. So in the heart, we can always be with God. We can always be with Krishna like that. Nice. You have any questions you'd like to ask? Anything? Yes. Yes, go ahead. This fast lasts till tomorrow morning sunrise. Okay. Yeah. You've asked that question before, you know the answer. Don't repeat the same question over and over again. Try to understand the answers that are given. Okay. Yeah. Talk to me later about it. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Mari. Can you give some tips about attentive chanting? Yeah. So attentive chanting means that when we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, our mind is not going around everywhere. You know, it's not actually going away, thinking about other things and being in other places like that. Stay focused on the holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are non-different because the holy name is absolute, the Lord is absolute. And when you say Krishna, you're actually with Krishna. Prabhupada actually gives the, Acharyas actually give the example of Krishna dancing on our tongue. So how is it that we can keep the mind under control and not let the mind roam about like that while we are chanting? That is called attentive chanting. It means we are paying attention while we are chanting. Just like when I'm speaking to you now, I'm paying attention when I'm speaking. How can you tell I'm paying attention? What are the things that you can see in me that tells me I'm paying attention while I'm speaking to you? No, it's not very hard. It's not like a very difficult question. Eye contact, very good. Eye contact tells you I'm paying attention. What else? Sorry? No long pauses between words, very good. What else? Responding, very nice. Responding to the questions that is being asked that tells you I'm paying attention, yeah. The words I use, right? Am I just using any words? What if I was speaking to you and saying, Tiki Tiki Tambo, No Sa Rambo, Chari Mari Ruchi Piperi Pambo? What would you understand what I just said? Any part you can take, Tiki Tiki Tambo, No Sa Rambo. You can take Piperi Pambo, Chari Mari Ruchi, Tiki Tiki Tambo. I can say this backwards, forwards, middle, out, middle this way. What does that mean? Means nothing, right? Doesn't mean anything to you, doesn't mean anything to me. I just chose those words because I want to say in communication, your words are important, right? You choose your words because you're trying to convey a meaning, correct? So in the same way, when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we are chanting, sit down, don't move about, okay? If you want to move about, stay outside, not inside. When we're actually chanting the holy names, each of those words has a meaning. The word Hare means, oh, energy of the Lord. It actually refers to Radharani. The word Krishna means, oh, all attractive Lord. Right? And also refers to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada says, you can think of either Krishna or Gauranga Mahaprabhu, both, all attractive Lord. And then the word Rama means, oh, reservoir of all pleasure. Which is what everybody is seeking in this world, right? Everybody wants more and more happiness, more and more pleasure. So the reservoir of all pleasure is the word Rama. And Rama signifies Lord Balarama, Lord Ramachandra, and also Lord Nityananda Balarama, like that. So whoever that you're attached to. And then what this mantra says is, kindly engage me in your service. Prabhupada defines the word service to mean expression of love. Basically what he's saying is, kindly accept my love. Because you can't force your love on somebody else, right? A boy can't say to a girl, I love you, therefore you have to love me. That doesn't work like that. You can love someone, but it's up to that person whether they want to love you or not. Because love has to be free, right? It's freedom. It's free will. Comes from free will. Love comes from free will. So it has to be our choice. So Krishna has to choose to actually allow us to love him. That is his choice. It's just like, say, for example, when Romeo fell in love with Juliet. What if Juliet had said, I don't want your love? Do you think Romeo would have been considered the beloved of Juliet? No. Juliet didn't accept it. Nothing you can do about it, right? You can wait. You can try again. You can send more chocolates on Valentine's Day. Make sure the roses are nice and red this time. Whatever color you think she likes. You see what I'm saying? You got to keep trying until the person says, okay, I accept. Right? So Krishna has to accept our love. Now, why would Krishna not want to accept our love? Krishna doesn't want to accept our love because he doesn't want fake love. Just like none of us want fake love too, right? Imagine if I was Bill Gates and some nice woman came up to said, I love you, I want to marry you. Why do you think she might want to marry me? Huh? Yeah, because I'm rich, right? So you think Bill Gates will say, yeah, that's very nice, I'll marry you. You think he'll do that? No. He'll make sure that she really, really loves him, right? And that he loves her too. So Krishna doesn't want fake love. And unfortunately with us, we're very smart at cheating. We're very smart at trying to cheat other people, you know. We say one thing and we do another, right? We're saying one thing, but in your heart, something else is going on. In this world, they call it business. Or, in crude American talk, business. It's called business. What is business all about? It means, I'll give you something which is worth less, and you give me more for it. It's like Bill Gates says, you know, I don't sell anything unless it's at least marked up 100 times. I will not sell it. If I don't sell it for 100 times above cost, I'm not going to sell it. Scriptures say, if you charge anything more than 2 times above the cost, you have to come back and repay that in your previous lives. So now you know what Bill Gates is going to be doing in his future lives. He's going to be having many, many lives because a lot of people he's taken money from. Not a very nice deal, is it? It's not a very smart deal. That's why you don't see the sadhus in India trying to become rich. You ever heard a sadhu trying to become rich? I have, but those are not real sadhus. No real sadhu is looking for becoming rich, right? You don't hear any Rishi Muni in the past running a multi-level marketing program. You ever heard one? get rich quick scheme, go to United States, become rich quick scheme. You don't see that happening. Why not? These people know things that are much more powerful. Money in the spiritual world, our money in the spiritual world is a little like for us what is monopoly money to us. You know, if someone says, okay, I will employ you, sir, tomorrow, and I'll give you $20,000 a month. You'll say, wow, that's pretty good. I want $20,000. Then he says, but it'll be monopoly money. What will you say to him? Thank you very much. No thanks. I don't want $20,000 monopoly money. What am I going to do with $20,000 monopoly money? You give me $20,000 real money, I can use it. Monopoly money, I'm not interested. The sadhus know that the money in this world is going to be worth something until you're in this world. Until you're playing the game of monopoly, monopoly money is worth a lot, right? While you're playing the game. Once the game is over, that money is worth nothing. So the devotees know that, and so the devotees, they, because they're in this world, they do use money. They don't reject money. They don't say, because money is Lakshmi, we don't reject Lakshmi. Lakshmi belongs to a consort, Vishnu, Narayan. But at the same time, we say to ourselves that we're interested in something that is permanent. And permanent means love of Krishna. So knowing this, that when we are chanting, this is what we're saying to Krishna, O energy of the Lord, Radharani, O all-attractive Lord, O reservoir of all pleasure, kindly engage me in your service. I ask people generally to write it down on four pieces of paper, or one piece of paper, but large writing. And then as we chant the first round, just look at the first meaning, O energy of the Lord. Second round, second meaning. Third round, third meaning. Fourth round, fourth meaning. Fourth meaning is, O kindly engage me in your service, like that. So by the time you do 16 rounds, you've done it four times, right? But if you keep looking at it and chanting, your mind is focused on what it's reading, right? Because you'll notice when you're reading something, your mind is not going to be running around everywhere. If you're saying it and reading what you're reading, your mind is like Sivanala translation is saying here, when a person worships me by his prescribed duties with the hope of gaining material benefit, at that time my mind is not running everywhere. I'm reading, and like I said, it's sincere, right? It's sincere. So I'm reading. So when I'm chanting like that, loudly enough, not too loudly, not too softly, and thinking of the meaning, or just reading the meaning, what will happen is as you read the meaning will come into your mind and you won't need to read it anymore. Just like anything in life, right? If you repeat, 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 what happens? You know it by heart now, right? You don't have to remember it. You don't have to read it anymore. Right? When we chant our mantras, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, do we have to read and chant? No, because we've chanted it so many times, we don't have to read it anymore. It's now become part of our system. So make these four meanings part of our system. So whenever we hear the name Krishna, immediately what happens? What do you think? All attractive Lord. Whenever you heard the word Hare, you think, O energy of the Lord. Whenever you hear the word Rama, you hear, O reservoir of all pleasure. Prabhupada also said, O supreme enjoyer. Like that. So, and then what are we saying? Kindly engage me in your service. Kindly engage me in your love so that I can love you. Like that. So this is actually the process. And so these are some simple ways to do it. And of course, another simple thing is when you are chanting, it is always good to chant in the association of others who are also chanting sincerely, because it gives us that type of energy, you know, when you're together, gives the energy. So some people, what they do is they put on Srila Prabhupada's tape while Prabhupada is chanting, so they can chant along with Srila Prabhupada. So they become, because Prabhupada very often will say, sit up properly, you know, and he's chanting very sincerely himself, so the sincerity comes into us. And some of us, we have our spiritual masters chanting, so we keep that on as well. Prabhupada chanting, spiritual master chanting, and then I'm also chanting, you know, like that. Then my chanting will be a little more sincere. Another thing is, and for me, this is one of the most powerful methods that I use for myself, and that is I like to have whoever I am relating with in my life in photo form or deity form in front of me while I'm chanting. And often I'll just keep doing their parikrama while I'm chanting. I'm circumambulating them while I'm chanting. so that I can actually seek their blessings and make a coverture around me. Like I'm, in a sense, tying them with my love, and they're tying me with their shelter. So I put a coverture around me. Because, you know, as a temple president, as one of the ISKCON leaders, one of the GBCs in America, there are times when I have to make decisions that people become very upset about, and then they curse me, and they go to some type of a tantric person and say, please curse this person so he'll die, or he'll become diseased, or something like that. So I know these things are happening. People give death threats, things like that. So in my chanting, I try to put a coverture around me while I'm chanting. So the coverture will stay with me until my next chanting. Because I want to keep chanting, you know. I don't want to stop chanting. You chant more rounds that way. And so when you do things that are important to you, then obviously you're going to be attentive, right? When it's not so important, then it's not so attentive. But if it is really important, it is attentive, right? Like, give me an example. If President Donald Trump was to walk into this room right now, do you think any of you would not know that this is the President of the United States just walking into this room? And if you think that, I'd be thinking about something else right now. You'll be seeing him, right? And you'll be thinking, wow, the President turned up at our temple? Whether you like him or don't like him makes no difference. He's the President of the United States of America. That's a powerful person, right? So, why are we paying attention? Because you think he's an important person. You like him or don't like him, that's another story. But he's an important person, right? So if something is important to me, obviously I'll pay attention. So make the holy name the most important thing to us. Because the holy name is Krishna himself, Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. If Krishna is with you, what you cannot do in your life? There's a saying in scripture, which Prabhupada often used to say, and this is the most powerful saying you can ever hear in your life. Only Krishna can do anything. Only Krishna can do anything. Nobody else. Radharani, who is very powerful, who is the energy of Krishna, says to Krishna, when you leave me, I become powerless. I cannot do things. I'm not capable. Please always stay with me. She's the most powerful person. Who's more powerful than Radharani? Can anybody describe anybody more powerful than Radharani? She's got Krishna wrapped around her little pinky. That's how powerful she is. And yet she says, Krishna, I need you with me at all times. Why did Arjuna win the battle of Kurukshetra? Why did he win? He was fighting who on the other side? His guru, Kripacharya, Andrancharya. He was fighting Bhishma Dev, who was given the boon that he cannot die unless he wants to die. How can you win a war against a person who can't die? And another set of group people he was fighting against was even more difficult is Krishna's army. Krishna's army, undefeated army, never been defeated. Whenever Krishna's army went to war, many people would die on the other side. Not one person would die on this side. That's how powerful his army was. America has a very powerful army, but whenever he even fights the smallest enemy, some of its people die anyway. Right? Some American soldiers die. Fact. But in Krishna's army, not one person dies. That army Arjuna had to fight against. And he won. Why did he win? Yeah, Krishna was on his side. Here's our answer. Always keep Krishna with you. Always tell Krishna, I'm always with you, Krishna. My mind may not be with you. My intelligence may not be with you. My false ego may not be with you, but I am with you. Please know that. I'm always with you and you're always with me. I'm not only separated with you. Never. Just stay with me inside all the time. I'll forget you from time to time because I've got some bad habits. I'm not very smart. But that's only because I'm a little child. Child will make mistakes. When it grows up, it becomes smarter, right? So when I grow up in my consciousness, I'll become smarter and I'll be with you all the time better. But otherwise, just like the father or the mother holds the little baby's hand, right? The baby is not holding the hand. The parent is holding the hand. The baby is being held by the parent's hand. The parents don't let go the hand, so the baby's hand is always with the parents. Who is holding the hand here? Is the baby holding the hand or is the parent holding the hand? We say both of them are holding the hand, but who is really holding the hand here? The parent. Who's going to hold my hand? Krishna. But he'll hold it if I ask him to hold it, if I want me to hold it. He's not going to force himself on us. He doesn't force himself on anybody. He only deals with us because we love him. We're saying, I want you, Krishna. I want you, I want you, I want you. Just like the baby, right? He keeps crying, 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 crying. The mother is busy cooking, doing this, doing that. The baby is crying, crying, crying. Mother knows baby is crying. Then after a while, the mother comes and picks up the baby. Why? Why does he pick up the baby? Because mother knows baby is crying too much now. Too much crying. Now the mother can't tolerate this much crying. A little bit crying, I let him cry. Still got to cook, right? Take care of my husband. I got this to do, that to do, this to do, that to do. So baby little crying, okay, good for the lungs also, right? When baby cries, the lungs become stronger, become a good singer in the future, whatever they're going to do with their lungs, right? But when the baby cries too much, the mother will stop everything and pick up that baby. So we have to cry too much for Krishna. So always cry for Krishna. Then Krishna thinks, too much crying going on, I better stay with this person. And if Krishna is with us, Krishna can do anything. Means, I can also do anything. Because Krishna can do anything and I'm with Krishna, so obviously I'm going for the ride, right? Just like you see the trains, when they go, the engine is in the front, right? It's pulling all the buggies at the back. Why those buggies are moving? Because they are linked to the train. If you unhook them, the train will go, the buggy will stay. Hook ourselves to Krishna. So these are all nice strategies, make us attentive, you know? And then anything good that happens in our life, we should think, oh, that's Krishna. Krishna made it happen. I'm so happy. Thank you, Krishna. And when something doesn't happen, you say, oh, that's Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Why? He wants something better. He wants something better for me, so he didn't let that one happen, so he can have something bigger. Oh, that's nice, right? Imagine if I go to work and I think, you know, I tell I think to myself, okay, I'd like to get paid $10,000 a month, you know. And so I go in the interview and the boss says, well, any last words from you before we decide whether we want to hire you or not? Yes, I want $10,000 a month. Boss says, done. $10,000. You see what I'm saying? Later on, you found out, as you were working, the boss was going to give you $100,000 a month. But you decided to ask for $10,000. Boss said, fine, I saved $90,000, right? He gave you the $10,000. This is the problem with us in our lives. We don't know what's really good for us and what is really not good for us. Krishna does. Connect yourself to Krishna, no matter how bad anything becomes, know that after that, the best things will come. The best things will come. Don't ever become discouraged if something doesn't go your way. Don't become discouraged. Don't think that's not fair. That person did this. That person did that. Blame somebody else. Blame some time. Blame some country. Blame some president of the United States of America. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. That you think, that means that situation is more powerful than Krishna, right? No. Nobody is more powerful than Krishna. If it's not supposed to happen, it's only because Krishna wants something better. Just like the child is thinking, I want to play, play, play all the time. The parent says, no, I want you to go to school. Do you think the child likes going to school? Most children don't like going to school. They hate it. Going to school, first day especially. Very hard. You drag the child to school, you know what I mean? You're not going to stay there and be with the person, otherwise the child will cry all day long. You know, missing the mommy, right? But what does the education do for the child? Before the child was playing with some toys, now the child will play some with some Mercedes Benz, with some iPhone. You see, expensive things, right? Because why? Got the education, got better pay. Now if you don't get the education, then you can go to McDonald's and flip burgers. And get paid how much? $7 an hour? $8 an hour? Then how much of a life are you going to have with $8 an hour in the United States of America? You get the point? Krishna always knows what's best for us. Don't get caught up if something goes wrong. Stay focused with Krishna. The miracles will come. Your spiritual master, Radhanath Maharaj, tells a very wonderful example of this. He says, when you have a difficulty, you should know you got a great gift. And inside that gift is a great, inside the package, you got a great package. And inside that package is a great gift. Whenever we have problems, we should know we got a beautiful package. And when we sort the problem, from that will come the greatest gift. You know, one of the richest men in India, his name is Mukesh Ambani. Right? He's probably right now the richest man in Asia, not just India. Okay? He says business is about solving problems. He says, I make money solving problems. Means problems is good for him, right? If there are no problems, what business problem are you going to solve? You have no business, right? You have no money. That's what he says. Now, I'm an attorney. I'm a certified lawyer, attorney. Attorneys make money out of problems all day long. They pray to Krishna, please, more problems, Krishna. Give people a lot of problems. So they'll come to me and I'll milk them all the money. You know, in the attorney's office, sometimes they have this picture of a big cow, beautiful cow. On one side of the cow is one attorney holding the cow by the horns and pulling him towards him. And on the other side, one person standing holding the tail of the cow and pulling the cow towards him. And the attorney is in the middle milking the cow. That's why in India they call them liars. Mera liar ke paas ja raha hoon main. Liar ke paas. Kyun liar ke paas? Ko liar hai na? Liar ke paas jana padta hai. So this is what happens. So the fact remains in our life, please, if we attach to Krishna, good or bad, you don't have to worry. Everything's going to turn what Krishna says to Arjuna. Kaunteya tu patijani name bhaktaha panashyati. My devotee will always succeed. This is the right way to move ahead in life. Everything will come right. Don't worry. No matter what. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very powerful, right? Who's more powerful than Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He was cursed. Did his family become very sick when they were cursed? Yes or no? Yes. Did he become very sick when he was cursed? Yes. Did that stop him and say, why this curse is working on me, I'm a devotee? No. He's thinking it's Krishna's arrangement. That's right. I'll keep chanting Hare Krishna. Kept chanting Hare Krishna, what happened? Everything was fine. Actually, the person who gives the curse will have a problem. It'll fire back against them, it'll boomerang. You know how they say in Australia, the boomerang? It comes back again, right? So what goes around, comes around, multiplied. If you curse someone, it's going to come and hit you back even bigger. Especially if the other person is a sadhu on the other side. What is the definition of sadhu? Sadhu means one who is with Krishna all the time. That is sadhu. Otherwise you cannot be sadhu. And this is whose definition? Do you know who says this? Can you imagine? Guess who said this? That this is the definition of sadhu. Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva never speaks false things. He speaks the truth. So this is our system. So many nice strategies here, how to always be attentive, right? Because we know Krishna is most important. Just imagine, you know, that someone you really, really, really think is very important in your life has come right there, standing next to you. Obviously, you're going to be paying attention to that person, right? You're not going to be thinking, you know, oh, what should I do? And if, no, you'll be talking to that person. It's the most important person standing next to you. That's Krishna himself. He wants to speak to your neck. He wants to be with you. He in fact is sitting in your heart as Paramatma. That's how close he wants to be with you. Like that. Thank you very much. Any other last points?
So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Vancha Kalpa Tiruvischa Kripa Sandhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.